to see you this morning. We appreciate that you're here, although several are either away or ill and not able to be with us today. We welcome our visitors. We have several. We appreciate that you're with us. We hope that your time here will be helpful to you in spiritual things. We encourage you to ask any questions that you might have of what we do or say. We might study more from God's Word together. We might learn together God's will for our lives and live by faith and have His blessing now and throughout eternity. If you're not a Christian, we solely want to encourage you to become a child of God today, to do that in God's way. So I join in the word of welcome with our sister Alyssa. It's good to see her and to have her among us. Thankful for her faith, for her obedience to the gospel as she encourages us by her faith and her obedience, and we seek to do the same for her. And if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to know the salvation that Jesus gives, to be saved from your past sins, to have them removed, have them washed away, and to live this day forward in newness of life. So we want to, as we have entitled our lesson this morning, we want you to receive Jesus. But as we're going to study from the Word of God, we want to understand what that means, because what the Scriptures describe as receiving Jesus is not always what people in the world have defined it to be, and how people religiously have often defined it to be. In that passage that John read for us just now, note that there's a reference to John the Baptist, or the baptizer, the one who came as a witness to the true light, to the Messiah, who was coming into the world. Note, please, in verse 7, it says that he came to testify of the light, that is, of the Messiah, that all through him might believe. So there was a testimony that John gave that was intended to bring people to belief, to believing. Now, when Jesus himself came into the world, note that it says he came to the world and that he had made, and the world did not know him. And then again in verse 11, he came to his own. He came to his own people. He came to the Jewish nation, and his own did not receive him. So there were those who did not know him. The world didn't know him. The Jews did not receive him. But then verse 12 importantly says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And he speaks of a birth that is from God in verse 13, the new birth that he would go on to teach about in John chapter 3. I say all this and bringing our attention to the Scripture because the other day, Debbie and I went to a movie. We went to see The Case for Christ. You may have seen it already. You may have heard about it. It's the product of the result of a book Lee Strobel wrote. 14 million copies of this little book, I guess, have been sold worldwide. Lee Strobel was the journalist with the Chicago Tribune that uncovered the problem with the Ford Pinto back in the late 70s. You know, had the people ran into the Pinto and it exploded. Yep. Well, he was the journalist that did the investigative reporting on that. And as it turns out, of course he is an atheist, but his wife, they had an incident. Their child was about to choke, and someone a nurse, through an experience they had, who helped save the child's life, began talking with the wife, who herself was also atheist, and his wife eventually comes to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, in the meantime, Strobel, he didn't like that. He wasn't interested in that at all. But he set out to apply his journalistic skills, he says, to the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus. And so the movie takes you through this process of investigating the evidence that exists for the fact that Jesus of Nazareth died and was raised from the dead. And so it speaks about the reliability of the ancient manuscripts that we have now. Well, at the time, there's over 5,300. Now there's close to 5,700 partial or complete manuscripts of the New Testament that testify of the event that far exceeds any of the other ancient manuscripts of other writings. He talked about the 500 witnesses at once who claimed at one time to see Jesus. Paul refers to that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6. It goes through that. It discusses the alleged discrepancies of the resurrection accounts. And he spent some time in debunking the swoon theory. That is the theory that Jesus really didn't die on the cross at all, but he just appeared to be dead and revived and broke himself free of that tomb. So all of those and more are discussed in his book and in the movie. It came to a point in the movie where the question was posed: how much evidence will it take before you believe? You know, in making that application to the resurrection, how much more do you need? There's another way of putting that question. How much evidence is it going to take before you give up your lack of faith in God and come to believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that He's the Christ, the Son of God? Well, as time went on, and as he began to assess all this, the point is he came to believe the evidence. Okay? He came to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we'll relate that in just a minute, but he said, "Well, now what? You know, now what? Now I believe the evidence." He comes to the conclusion the evidence supports the conclusion that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Now what? Well, he turns to John 1:12, or his wife does with him in the movie, and is related a little bit differently in the book. But he read that verse we just read together. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." And so he said he was convinced that if you believe and receive, you become. So that was the description of John 1 and verse 12. Believe plus receive equals become. And so he chose to pray and believes that he was saved. Here's what he wrote in his book. "On November 8th, 1981, I talked with God in a heartfelt and unedited prayer, admitting and turning from my wrongdoing and receiving the gift of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus." So he believed that he talked to God, he prayed, and God forgave him, and he received eternal life. "I told Him that with His help, I wanted to follow Him and His ways from here on out. There were no lightning bolts, no audible replies, no tingling sensations. I know that some people feel a rush of emotion at such a moment. As for me, however, there was something else that was equally exhilarating. There was the rush of reason." Because you see, he's built his entire case for Christ on following the facts and coming to a reasonable conclusion that Jesus was raised from the dead. And so he believed that because he believed that evidence, and he prayed a prayer asking Jesus to save him, that he became a child of God that day. Many people believe that to this hour. Many people interpret John 1:12 in exactly that way and believe that if you do accept that Jesus was raised from the dead and is the Son of God, if you will pray to God, ask Him to forgive you, that you receive Him into your life, that's when you become a Christian, that's when you're born again, that's when you're given eternal life. Well, let me say at the very outset, we want you to receive Jesus today. We want you to receive Jesus. Question is, how does that happen in the Bible teaching? Is receiving Jesus, according to this passage, is that the moment of new birth? And is that accomplished through prayer? When does that happen? How does that happen? Will we let the Bible teach us how that happens? Do we want to know how the Bible teaches us it happens? Or will we be content with an experience of our own life in such things? Will we allow the Bible to teach us? You see, he went on to write in this book, I had been trained to respond to the facts wherever they lead. That's Strobel's assessment. And one would have hoped that he would have followed the Bible facts about receiving Jesus. He followed the facts about Jesus being resurrected from the dead, but then when it came to understanding how to receive Jesus, he didn't follow the Bible facts. I wish he had have. He sold 14 million books telling people a way to receive Jesus that's not in God's book. And we're not going to just assert that, we're going to demonstrate that in Scripture. I want us to be able to know the difference so we can teach the difference so that we can help people see that what is being in movies and books advocated as how you receive Jesus is not the Bible way. Now, that runs afoul of some of the most prominent preachers of the day. His wife was going to the Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. Bill Hybels. You may or may not know that name. Some of you may. He's very well known. Grew into a big mega church. And that's where they went. Until now, of course, Strobel himself is with a big community church in Houston. But you see, millions and millions of people have been told, if you'll believe Jesus is the Son of God, receive Him, pray. Ask Him to save you, and you'll be saved right there. And that's how you become. Well, what does John 1:12 really say? What does it actually say? Let's let the text teach us what it actually says. The verse says, as many as received Him. Now, the contrast is verse 11. He came to His own and they did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. So He says those who believe have the right to become children of God. The believer is the receiver. When you receive, you believe. And when you believe, you have the right to become. It didn't say equals. It said you have the right to become a child of God. You see, we want you to receive this morning. We want you to accept. We want you to believe. But we want you to do more than believe. Because just believing is not going to make you a child of God. Now let's go through this text bit by bit. Let's let it explain itself to us. First, let's look at the word received. As many as received Him. The word received means to take hold of, or to have, or to obtain, to accept. Again, he said He came to His own and His own did not accept Him. They did not take hold of Him. They did not have Him. Let's look at that. In Mark 6, verses 1 through 6. In Mark 6, 1 through 6. Because here we have Jesus coming to Nazareth. Back to where He grew up. He comes back where He grew up. He went out from there and came to His own country. And His disciples followed Him. And on the Sabbath He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished and saying, where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this that is given to Him that such mighty works were performed by His hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Are not His sisters here with us? So they were offended at Him. Now notice, they didn't receive Him. They saw His works, knew of His works, and heard His words. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now He could do no mighty work there except He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. They did not receive Jesus, though the evidence was presented to them. They didn't believe. They didn't accept Him. But now go with me, please. From there He went up into the regions of the Sea of Galilee, and John gives us an account of that event. In John 4:43, after 2 days, He departed from there and went to Galilee. He was in Cana. He went north to Nazareth. He's going on now to Galilee. For Jesus Himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And we just read that from Nazareth. So when He came to Galilee, the Galileans received Him, having seen all the things He did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So the Galileans received Him. They saw the evidence. They saw the works that He did in Jerusalem. Now, Nazareth saw the same evidence, heard the same words, but they didn't accept Him. They didn't receive Him. Galilee accepted Him, received Him. Now, that's just really the verification of what John 1:11 says. He came to his own did not receive Him. So when Strobel looks at the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus, he receives Him. He believes the evidence. He accepted that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, does that constitute making somebody a child of God? Well, let's go on. Because you see, John 1:12 explains about the receiving. He explains it. He says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become a child of God. Look, it does not say, as many as received Him became children of God. But that's what Strobel presents in his book. That's what Strobel presents in his movie. That's what the community churches around us present to people. Believe, receive, and become. But that's not what the verse says. Believers who accept, they have the right to become. Now, go to John 5 with me, 42 through 44. John 5:42. Jesus says, "But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in My Father's name, and you do not receive Me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive." So He uses the same word that John 1:12 uses. You don't receive Me. Now look at 44. "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" Jesus uses receive and believe interchangeably in that passage. You don't receive Me. How can you believe Me? See that? Receive, according to Jesus, the word receive of accepting Him is tantamount, is equivalent to believing. That's what the Scripture says. Now, it says, as many as received Him. There's a universal offering to have the right to become a child of God. A universal offering of salvation is made based on believing, based on receiving. It doesn't mean just believe and you'll be saved, though. That's not what the text says. It's simply not what it says. Look, it says you have the right to become. The word right there is the Greek word exousia. It means authority. The right to act. It means the power to act. The freedom to act, or the permission to act. You see, if you don't receive Jesus, then you cannot possibly become a child of God. But when you accept Him, when you receive Him, you have the power to become. You have the right to act to become a child of God. That's what the verse says. But you see, you're not a child of God when you receive. When you receive, you have the right to become a child of God. Now, that's what the verse says. It doesn't say receive plus believe equals become. No. It says receive. I had that chart up here a while ago, didn't I? Here's what it says. Received equals become a child of God. Right to become a child of God. You receive, you have the right to become a child of God. It doesn't say receive plus believe equals become. That's the figment of false teachers' imagination who want to say faith only is the way you're saved. Now look, John 1:13 says, talks about the new birth. You have the right to become a child of God, but now it explains it in John 1:13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here's the introduction of a new birth that must take place to become God's child. And Jesus will explain it to Nicodemus in John 3. Now note please about Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus, it says, came by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do the signs that you have done, that you do, unless God is with him. Now, seems to me like Nicodemus accepted at least two things about Jesus already. He accepted or received that Jesus was a teacher that God sent and that God was with him because he had done works. He saw the works of Jesus. He knew about the works of Jesus. He believed the works of Jesus. He deduced God was with him and that he must, and therefore what he says must come from God. He's a teacher come from God. So he had some belief in Jesus already. But now he talks to this man about how to be born again. He didn't immediately become, did he? No. He says, I tell you, unless one's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, well, how can that be? How can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, he says, you're going to have to be born again, Nicodemus, to enter the kingdom, to have salvation. You're going to have to be born again. But John 1 tells us, you got to accept who he is before that can happen. That's what 1 John 1:12 says. You got to believe who Jesus is. That he's the light that's come into the world. That he is the great I am. That he is the Word who became flesh. But when you believe that, now you have the right to act. Now you have that's the same word, John 1:12. Same word as Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All power. You have the power to become a child of God when you will accept Jesus. Now, we hear people today talk about accepting Jesus. But they're saying something very different. You see, they're not saying what John 1:12 says. See, the new birth that John 3 talks about, you find purification when you obey the truth. Born of water and the Spirit. The purification of one's soul from sin. When we are obedient to the truth and we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. When we obey the Word that the Spirit has given us and are baptized in water, there's a new birth. Jesus said it's one birth and two elements. One birth, a new birth. John said it's not of blood. It's not because of some descendancy you have. It's not the will of the flesh. It's not some action of the flesh. It's not from the will of man. Man does not constitute, isn't in the range and originate and perpetuate this new birth. It's not a birth like from the mother, father, and Nicodemus was talking about. No, it's of God. And when you'll accept that Jesus is the Son of God, then you have the right to be born again. Then you have the right to become a child of God. But now let me ask you this from John 1:12. Where is prayer in that verse? Because Lee Strobel said, I offer God an unedited prayer, asking Him to forgive me of my wrongdoing and save me, forgive me, and I'll be yours from now on. And he said, I was saved right then. But where is prayer in John 1:12? A prayer that says, Dear God, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross. Well, that's there. Receiving, that's there. Believing, that's there. Now I accept your forgiveness. Well, you can't accept it unless it's provided. How's it provided? By a new birth. Where's the new birth of water and the Spirit in prayer? In saying, Jesus, forgive me. Where's the new birth of water and the Spirit? Not there, is it? And then, thank you for forgiving me all my sin. Well, that kind of a prayer is thanking Jesus for something or God for something He hadn't done yet. It's a deceptive message. It's not the Bible message. It's not what the Scripture teaches. Now, here's what the verse says. All who receive or believe in Jesus Christ have the right, they have the authority, they have the power, they have the permission to become children of God. A new birth is available to all who believe. John 1:13. That's what the verse says. That's what it teaches. Receive. Those who believe are those who receive. And that means you have the right to become a child of God. And Jesus explains how to become a child of God later as He taught on the earth and His apostles taught through His Word. Now, I want to provide, we're going to follow the facts, like Strobel said. Let's follow the facts. Let's look at just a few Bible examples of John 1:12 playing out. Okay? Let's see it in practice. Okay, here's fact number one, the Great Commission. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus has now been raised from the dead. He's about to ascend to the Father. And He's speaking to His apostles. And He says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So now we have the believer, he who believes. Well, that's the one who receives, according to John 1:12. As many as receive Him, as many as accept, as many as take hold of Jesus, those who believe in His name. See, He explains who it is in John 1:12. That's who we have now. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now you see, the receive plus believe equals become. They teach he that believes is saved and then will be baptized. Because you see, in the message of the book and in the movie, that's what happened with Mr. Strobel's wife. You see, she believed and she thought she was saved, and then they had a baptism sometime later. But in the Great Commission, those who receive or those who will believe, go preach the gospel. Those who believe it and are baptized will be saved. They become children of God. Do you accept that Jesus is the Son of God? If so, you need to be baptized. Because until you're baptized, you're not a child of God. You're still lost. You're not saved. Great Commission fact. We're just following the facts of the Scriptures. We're not following experiences. We're not following emotion. We're following the facts of the Scriptures. Let's go to another fact. the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. In verse 22, John said, Men of Jerusalem, hear these words. So he's going to preach words along with the other apostles. They preached words. And the words they preached is to let all the house of Israel know assuredly, verse 36, that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Here are some people who received the truth. They believed it. According to John 1:12. As many as received Him, they gave a right to become a child of God to those who believe in His name. So here are some who believe in His name because they're cut to the heart when they hear the message that He's Lord in Christ. And they ask a fundamental question. What shall we do? Not unlike Lee Strobel when he accepted the evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead. He said, then what? Or what now? What they ask, what now? And isn't it curious that it does not say, believe and receive and believe and you become. They've already believed. And now they're told, repent ye and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 40 says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or perverse generation. Those then who gladly received His word. There's our word again from John 1:12. As many as gladly received His word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. What happened when people received the word of Jesus? They were baptized. Why? Because you see, the new birth involves water. John 3:5. And when I believe, when I receive that Jesus is the Son of God, I have the right to become a child of God. But I have to be baptized for that to be accomplished by the grace of God. We're just following the facts. That's just the fact. That's what it says. Those that received Him were baptized. And by the way, verse 38 explains, they didn't have remission of sins until they were baptized. Look at it. He told those who believed, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Not because you've been saved. Not because you became and now you're baptized. No, to become a child of God. To have, for, in order to, the remission of your sins. Just the facts. Number 3. The Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 38. Here's a man who'd been reading the Scriptures, but he did not understand them. Philip, the evangelist, preaches unto him Jesus and explains that the suffering person of Isaiah 53 was none other than the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. He preached Jesus to him. And when they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And he said, see, here's water. What's hindering me from being baptized? And he said, if you believe, you may. Who are the believers? They're the ones who receive. Who accept that Jesus is the light, the Word, the Son of God. Raised from the dead. He says, you can be baptized if you believe. And he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Why would he baptize him? Because a new birth requires water. John 3:5. And I can't become a child of God until I'm born again of God. And being born of God comes after I receive Jesus. But I'm not saved until I become a child of God. You believe Jesus? You receive Jesus? You have the right to become a child of God. You have a right to say, here's water, what's keeping me from being saved? And confess your faith and go to the water and be saved. be born again. Be born of God. Just following the facts. We just got a fact here. Fact number three. A man who heard and believed in Jesus and received Jesus learned that he needed to be baptized to become a child of God. And that's what he did. Well, let's go to Saul of Tarsus in Acts the 9th chapter. Verses 3 through 9. You know who Saul was, the great persecutor of Christians. But Jesus appeared to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" What now? Now what? What do you want me to do? He said, "Go into the city and it'll be told you what you must do." So he went into Damascus, blinded. And for 3 days he did not eat. He prayed. God sent Ananias, a godly man, to him, well respected among the Jews. He said, "The Lord's chosen you to be a servant, to be His witness." But now I want you to see in Acts 22 that after all that, here is Saul who believes Jesus is the Son of God. He's repentant and prayerful for 3 days. He's asking, at least in his mind, "Now what?" Ananias comes to him, and Ananias says, "What are you waiting for?" But no, he didn't say, "What are you waiting for, Saul? Jesus has already saved you." He said, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You see, Saul received, he accepted who Jesus was. He had the right to become a child of God. So he said, "Get up and go to the water." Well, why would he have to do that? Because the new birth requires water, John 3:5. And he still had sins that needed to be washed away. And it was not until he got up and was baptized that he became a child of God. Again, I say, just the facts. You see, you have permission to become a child of God. What are you waiting for? Saul, you have permission to become a child of God. You've received Jesus as the Son of God. Now get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. So receiving equals believing. And that gives you the right to become a child of God. And that's what he did. Now, with Mr. Strobel, we say, follow the facts. Just follow the facts of the Scriptures. That when you receive that Jesus was raised from the dead, you have the right to be saved. You have the right to become a child of God. When you believe this fundamental truth, you have the right to be baptized to be saved. You have the right to repent and be baptized and have your sins washed away, have removed, remitted. You have the right to say, "What's keeping me from being baptized is to go to the water and be born again by God." You have the right to have your sins washed away. So, we ask the question that was asked of him. How much more evidence do you need? How much evidence is it going to take to convince you to believe and be saved in the Bible way? To repent and be baptized to become a child of God. How much more evidence? You have the Great Commission evidence. You have the Pentecost evidence. You have the Ethiopian evidence. You have Saul of Tarsus evidence. You have the statement of Scripture evidence. How much more is it going to take? Will you be like Nazareth? Or will you be like Galilee? Will you receive Jesus or reject Him? Because if you'll receive Him, if you believe who He is, then it's time to get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus to be born of God. That's the gospel message that the case of Christ does not present to the world. That's the message the world must hear. Millions have been led astray by the false teaching that believe plus receive equals become. No. Believes equals receive. Receive equals believe. Those who receive are those who believe in His name. And that means you have a right then to become a child of God. That's what the verse teaches. So if you have an opportunity to talk to somebody that you know who believes they were saved through a prayer asking Jesus to forgive them, call their attention to the facts. Just follow the facts of the Scriptures. And follow the plain words of John 1:12. Do not allow it to be manipulated to say something it does not say, to give comfort to an activity that is not endorsed by God. He's not going to give a new birth to somebody who distorts His Word and then has a sense of security that everything's okay. But we close this lesson by giving the exhortation. How much evidence do you need? How many more Bible facts will it take for you, to receive that Jesus is the Son of God and to become a child of God by being born again in His way, by going to the water, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? We hope and we believe that the Word of God will persuade you. It has the power to save you. And we urge you this morning to put your trust in that Word and obey the Lord in faith and know that He will give you the very blessing that He's promised that He would. If you're not a child of God, be born again today. If you're a Christian, you have been born again, but you've not been living as a child of God. Sin has taken over your heart and your life, then repent of that. Brother or sister, repent of the sin. Pray God's forgiveness. And He has promised He will forgive us. Won't you receive Jesus? And then won't you become a child of God? We urge you to do that while we stand and while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?